You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are back, and we are back with one of my good friends, Charles Foschini. Did I get it close?
It's good, Jim. You got it close.
I got it close, and he's my good friend. I still can't say his name, but he butchers my name occasionally, so we're going to have fun with that later. Charles is here. He's the market leader for the state of Florida for Berkadia.
You got that right, too, Jim.
Oh, my gosh. I'm hitting 500 so far today because I messed that. Thank you, man. You're all right, too. Wanda's keeping up, too. So, Charles, first of all, let's talk about who's the company you work for, because there's some special people there. And also, let's give your background, because I think you add a lot of value with the training that you've had.
Sure. Talk about myself briefly. I moved to Miami in 1983 to study marine biology. It wound up being a much better hobby than career. Got into commercial real estate in 85. Three-time cane. Got into capital markets in 98. And about a year ago, I was recruited to take over Berkadia's Florida market leader position. I share that with Mitch Simberg, my partner in Boca. And together, we make big loans on big buildings all over the state. Berkadia is a commercial mortgage bank that's owned by Berkshire Hathaway, a Warren Buffett entity, and Leucadia, a private equity company out of the Northeast.
So, Charles, you track the capital markets really closely. Let's get some numbers out of the way real fast. The Federal Reserve has been looking to pull some money out of the system by raising interest rates. That's had somewhat of an impact on the business, but there's ways that the business responds to mitigate that impact. What's been going on with rates and spreads, what people pay over the rate for money?
Sure. I would suggest to you that most of this cycle, rates have been very low because the underlying treasuries have been very low. And what people haven't noticed is that spreads were fat. There was a lot of yield built in. There was a lot of profit being taken by lenders. As rates have gone up, you're starting to see a lot of spread compression and spread competition.
So, and what the spread is, just for the folks that aren't as familiar, is that's the rate that you pay minus the index is the spread, the amount between the index. Maybe that's treasuries or LIBOR or something like that.
That is correct.
Okay.
Prime, LIBOR, and treasuries are the three most used conventions.
Okay. So, Charles, then, what's been going on is, so they're trying to keep the amount that somebody pays on the interest rate similar, but now that they're starting to lose ground there too?
Yeah. You know, if you took a look at interest rates, say a year ago, the 10-year Treasury was at 2.25. Today, the Treasury ended at 2.98. That's a pretty significant increase in a year. You're still well below the historical average of about 6.5%. But if you took a look at spreads a year ago, they're probably 50 basis points tighter today than they were a year ago, maybe more in some cases.
So then the actual impact is only about 25 basis points?
The actual impact in most cases could be that or less.
Wow. So then it really has been unchanged. So there is this mummy boy, they're still being a little bit more aggressive on rates, or what's going on with that?
You know, we're going to see rates continue to be impactful to the business. Rising interest rates, I believe, is in part slowed transactions down. But folks that really take a look at the underlying value of the assets, what you have going on in this country as an overall economy and the lift that we have, the interest rates factor in, but it's not the be-all, end-all.
Now, I know that you're very involved in the apartment multifamily business from a capitalization standpoint. What have you been seeing with real estate, the demand for and the supply of money for multifamily here in the state of Florida?
So I would suggest to you, Florida is representative of the rest of the country in that there is a very healthy multifamily market in most major MSAs across the country. As you go into the more secondary and tertiary markets, there's been almost no new construction in those areas. So those remain very robust. If you look at an area like Florida that has really unprecedented job growth and very strong technological and medical job growth as compared to past cycles, all these apartments that are getting developed are getting absorbed. And then when you take a look at the population growth that we have alongside that job growth, you have very strong demand. That's kept rates high, that's kept the asset class appealing, and that's really created a driver for banks, life companies, CMBS or Wall Street lenders, and of course Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, to maintain very active practices. Transaction activity has slowed down a little bit. A lot of multifamily assets have already traded twice in this cycle. And as a result of that, there's just less deals to do. And with less deals to do, there's less money to put out. So the lenders are even that much more aggressive, hence the spread compression.
So then how about condo? You know, we've seen some condo building. They're coming to market. But the dynamic of the condo capitalization model might indicate that we're in for a kind of soft landing?
I would agree. You know, in the last cycle, we did a fair amount of condo lending. I would tell you in this cycle, there was very little of that went through intermediaries. The reason being is most of the condos were sold with as much as 80% deposits. So you're really coming to a bank, if at all, for the last 20% of your cost. And those properties were fully sold out. So your lender is getting repaid, your equity sources are getting repaid, the investor's making a profit. And whether someone occupies that unit or not, they're closing on it.
Yeah. And so it seems to me like we're almost at the point where you could, in fact, start planning and capitalizing the next round of condo development. What do you think? And this is, I haven't asked you this question. What's your thoughts on that? Are we almost there? Maybe not Miami, maybe Fort Lauderdale. What do you think?
You know, in my opinion, a lot of condos were built in this market and may come back to the market and resale.
Okay.
And you'd really have to look at that to suggest whether or not we could support additional supply. In this cycle, and you may know better than most with your residential lending, the single family home buyer, particularly the foreign buyer that populates a lot of our purchases, has not had easy access to credit. If you were in the last cycle and you got dinged, you do not have easy access to credit today. It's usually 7 to 10 years for that to burn off, and we're not there yet. So affordable condos for the first time home buyer. If you look at neighborhoods like Pinecrest, South Miami, Coral Gables, and see what a single family home costs today as a starter home, you know, a $300,000 home 10 years ago is today a $900,000 home, and you're competing with developers that are going to knock it down and build a $4 million house.
Yeah, it's a lovely mid-century ranch house.
Correct. It needs new roof, new walls, and new floor. But that's your stock. So someone trying to buy a home today for the first time and is looking for a mid-price condo, that product hasn't started to show up, and there has really been almost no conversions in this cycle of any magnitude. And I believe there's room for that.
Yeah, well, we're actually capitalizing some of that close-in-town development deals up on Bird Avenue and stuff like that, where we're getting, they're not inexpensive. They're $600,000 to $700,000 a pop just to build them. But we're trying to fund in-town living so that we can A, take people off the roads, B, get them closer to their jobs, which gives them a better quality of life, more time at home, and C, give them something that they can afford while working in those jobs. Do you want to give a shout out? Because we've only about 30 seconds in this segment, and I think it's time to give a shout out.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to my blended family, my beautiful girlfriend, Anna, my daughter, Nikki, my son, Hunter, Nicholas, Jack, and Alexander, and our fairy pets at home.
You're the man. You're the man. I really appreciate that. I don't want to give the same shout out to those same folks for delivering Charles. He'll be home soon. Don't worry. Wanda, let's go to break. Charles, you can stick and do another segment, can't you?
Yeah, happy to do it.
Oh, we're having a great time. Wanda, it's your turn.